And yeah, that one was mine. If you've never had a three-year-old before, they're fun. That one's not free to a good home yet. We're still working on him. But y'all pray for us. Oh, goodness. It is so good to open up the Word of God with you this morning. If my microphone falls off, I've been wrestling with this thing all morning. I'll just shout and scream, and we'll get through it. Hopefully, this thing stays on. But if you got your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I know it's the Christmas season, and the pastor's going to begin a Christmas series next week when he's back, and I joked with him. I said, I'm not going to steal your Christmas thunder. I said, I'm going to preach a message that God laid upon my heart. I thought I was going with a different direction this morning. God had been speaking with me, and I'd begin working on a message out of the book of Exodus, and all of a sudden God said, we're going to go this way. And luckily I could get it to Michelle quick enough to get it into the bulletin. That's how quick God changed my heart and my direction this morning. If it was for anybody, maybe it was just for me in my study that God needed to preach it to me, but I pray that it will be a blessing to your heart this morning and that you just open up your heart and you'll just let God speak to you. I know it will be a blessing to you. If you found your place in God's Word, I ask you to stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter 19, we're going to read verses 1 through 10, a very familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible says this, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word this morning. You may be seated. A very familiar account here in Scripture. Verse 1 lets us know that Jesus entered and he passed through Jericho. I want to tell you this morning that when Jesus came into a place, he always drew quite a crowd when he came into a new city or to a new place. Do you know today that Jesus still draws a crowd and he still draws attention when he shows up somewhere? He still does. This world today, they don't like that name of Jesus. You can go anywhere and, you know, if you want to lead in prayer and you want to pray in Muhammad's name or Buddha's name or Joseph Smith's name, that's okay to the world. But when you start praying in Jesus' name, they don't like it. Because there is power in the name of Jesus, as we just sang about. Jesus is alive and well. All those other guys I just mentioned, they're dead. And not only is Jesus alive and well, he's going to come back again one day. And I want to tell you this, when Jesus manifests himself in a place, people still show up. You hear outbreaks of revival and meeting and things like that, where thousands of people will come together and they're gathering one place, not because of the preacher, not because of who's singing, not because it's the popular thing to do, but because Jesus is showing up there. And people still want to be where Jesus is showing up. I'm glad he still shows up here at Midway, aren't you? Amen. I don't want to go to church without him. I told him that a long time ago. But I pray that's the reason that you came here this morning. I pray that you came here to see Jesus. Please don't tell me you came here to hear me preach.
No.
Hey, no. And please don't tell me that you came here to hear us sing or to watch my three-year-old walk across the back aisle there and trip halfway through. I hope you didn't come here out of obligation or because it's some ritual that you do just every single week. I pray you got up this morning and you said, I want to see Jesus today. And I'm going to go to church. But Jesus drew quite a crowd every time he came into a city. And I want to tell you today, there's four types of people that you'll always find in the crowds that Jesus would draw. And you still find these same type of four people today. The first type is this. I always see people in that crowd that love Jesus. There were people that were going to come to see Jesus because they loved his teaching. They loved Jesus for who he was. They knew he was the Son of God. And they weren't going to miss out when Jesus was coming through their town. I'm still glad for people that they come just because they love Jesus. Jesus still draws that crowd. I want to tell you this too. Jesus draws people that love him, but he also draws a lot of people that don't like him at all. While you find a crowd, you'll find in there these people that did not like Jesus. They did not like his teaching. And they weren't there to support him, to love on him. They were there to, any of y'all ever seen anybody do this? Sit there and wait and try to catch Jesus saying something he wasn't supposed to. Trying to catch him breaking the law. These super religious Pharisaical crowd. May I tell you, Jesus still draws that crowd today. Oh, they're in churches everywhere you go. And they still do this. And they might slouch back. And now, don't all y'all sit up straight, all right? I ain't picking on you this morning. But they sit there and they say, I'm not here because I love Jesus. I'm just here to see what this Jesus stuff is all about and to find something wrong with it. We're Baptists. We're good at finding something wrong with something. Somebody say amen. We're good at it. We can find dirt in a snowstorm. We're good at it. We'll do it. That's the second crowd. Third crowd Jesus always drew were people that were in need of healing. You see, here in Luke chapter 19, you'll find that Jesus has begun his earthly ministry, and he has begun to work. And where Jesus would go, healing would come as well. The blind would see, the deaf would hear. The lepers would be cleansed, the lame would walk, and even the dead would be raised to life again when this man named Jesus would come into a city. I'm glad Jesus still draws that type of crowd today. If you're in here this morning and you're hurting and you're in need of a touch, I'm here to tell you, you came to the best place you could ever come to. The world ain't got nothing to offer you. A beer bottle won't fix what's going on in your life. A prescription pill won't fix it. I'm here to tell you the only thing that can help you in your life is a true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's right here today. So if you're in need of healing, you're in the right place. I'm glad he still draws those that are in need of a touch. But that fourth type in that crowd, I want to pinpoint today. And that's the curious crowd. You know, Jesus still makes people curious about what he's all about and what he's doing. People will sit there and say, you know what, I'm not going to get real close, but I just want to look from afar off to kind of just see what this Jesus is all about. I'm not talking about y'all sitting in the back. Don't all y'all give me those bad looks, all right? I sat in the back most of my life. I liked it back there. But what they do is they sit from afar off and they're curious about this Jesus and they got this one question on their heart and their mind. Is this guy the real deal? Is can I use a sports term? Is this Jesus going to live up to the hype that I've heard about? Is he really all that they say that he is? I don't know if he is or not, so I'm just a little bit curious. So I'm just going to step back and I'm just going to view from afar. I believe the gentleman that we find here in this passage of Scripture, he fits perfectly into that fourth crowd, the curious crowd. You find there that his name is Zacchaeus, and we all know this account in Scripture. The kids sing it all the time. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he, and he climbed a sycamore tree. But here's what I found in my study as I began to study more on Zacchaeus and find out more about his life. I found out about his name. Does anybody in here know what Zacchaeus means? It means pure. I did not know that. And as I was in my study and I found out about his name, I said, man, isn't that a contradictory statement? Because right after Zacchaeus' name, you get his title. He is a chief among the publicans. He's a tax collector. Ooh. If any of you work for the IRS, I'm not against you. You have to do your job. But I want to tell you, it was a little bit different back in biblical times than it is today. Tax collectors were not just collectors of the taxes. They were known as thieves. They cheated those people. He said they still are. And they would go, and let's just use this for an analogy. Let's just say that you owe $20 in taxes. Zacchaeus comes to your door, gives you the nice knock. You come to the door. And while Zacchaeus has got down that you owe him $20, Zacchaeus says, you owe me 70. Zacchaeus would pocket the other 50. Tax collectors were not well liked during this time. And we find that this tax collector, who's got a name of pure, is not very pure at all. But he's curious. And he hears that Jesus is going to pass by. And I love what verse 3 says. It says he wanted to see him for who he was. And so Zacchaeus decides that he's going to climb a tree because he's short. I ain't got nothing against short people. Hey, listen. Y'all may not believe this because I'm fat and I'm out of shape. But in college, I walked on to our college basketball team. Now listen, I shot outside. I didn't go inside the paint, okay? But I can sympathize with you short people because I was walking around with dudes that's like 6'6", 6'7". I was in their shadow all the time. I sympathize with you. So Zacchaeus, the way we say it today, to be politically correct, he's vertically challenged. So he can't really see because of all these people. And so he decides if he really wants to see Jesus for who he was, then he's going to have to use another avenue in order to see Jesus because Jesus is drawing this crowd and there's no way that he's going to get to the front. Because if you got the tax collector tapping on your shoulder saying, excuse me, I'd like to see Jesus. Well, if you tap on my shoulder again, you're going to meet him. It ain't tax time, buddy. I'll whoop you in front of God and everybody right here. So you got a guy that's not liked. He's got a bad reputation. He doesn't live up to what his name says. And the poor fella, he just wants to see Jesus for who he is. And so he says, I got to figure out some avenue in order to see Jesus. And he says, I'm going to climb a tree. And the Bible is very specific that he climbed a sycamore tree. I learned this in my study. Sycamore trees were native to that area of Jericho. You wouldn't find them everywhere you went. They were native to that area. And Brother Morris, I agree with you, what you said one time. You said sycamore trees are slick. They tough to climb. Them things are. And I have a commentary by J. Vernon McGee, and he was looking at this passage of Scripture, and he said Zacchaeus actually had to work really, really hard to get up this tree. Because the way sycamore trees work is they're very slick, they're very difficult to climb, and the limbs are not low. They're on up there a little bit. And remember, he's vertically challenged. Okay? So he's already got that against him. So in order to see Jesus for who he was, in order to get this curiosity quenched of who this Jesus is and what he's doing, this fellow's going to have to work a little bit. I want to tell you this. If you came in here this morning and you're sitting there and you look good, you got your clothes on, you sing the songs, you got your Bible in your lap, you're doing good, but you're curious about this Jesus, I want to tell you, I appreciate the work that you put into to come in here today. It's not easy being curious about Jesus and having to come and to see him for who he is. It takes work. And you put forth that effort to come here this morning. But Zacchaeus, I can see him kind of trying to bear hug that tree, shimmy up that thing. And he finally gets up to a limb where he can see over the crowd, where he can wait for Jesus to pass by. Aren't you glad that Jesus still passes by? I'm so glad he does. And there's Zacchaeus waiting in his tree. But I want to talk about that tree for just a minute. Because I want to hit on this. Do you know that we're all tree climbers? We all are. Whether you see yourself doing it or not, we all climb trees. You see, a lot of people, they look at this passage and they see Zacchaeus as a lost man. And I want to tell you this. Lost people do climb trees to see Jesus for who he is. I'm so glad they do it. I'm so glad I did it. Those of you that are in here are blood bought and redeemed. There was a time and a place in your life where you made a conscious decision that you were going to go see what this Jesus was all about. You were going to listen to somebody share with you about this Jesus. You made that decision. But say, folks, I'm going to tell you, we are not immune from climbing trees again in our spiritual life. You see, what Zacchaeus found in that tree was seclusion and support. Zacchaeus could sit up there in that tree and have his own thoughts. He could sit up there and talk to himself, and he could even answer himself. He had his own bird's eye view of what was going on down below him. Nobody else influenced it. Nobody's eyes were on him. The crowd was on Jesus. He thought nobody would ever see him up in that tree. But not only did he find seclusion, he found support. That tree was holding him up and giving him the foundation to see what he wanted to see. Tell you this, Christians, we climb trees for support and seclusion too. How many times have you ever said this? And just be honest. Man, I wish I had a relationship with God like they had. Man, I wonder if I could ever be on fire for God like they are. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. I wonder how they got all that. Why is God blessing them and they're not blessing me? You know what you do? You climb a tree. You perch yourself up there on that limb, and you sit there in your seclusion, and you watch. You think, nobody's ever going to notice me. I can have my own thoughts about the situation. I can talk to myself, and I can even answer myself while I'm up here in this tree. Nobody will ever look at me. I'm fine. But Zacchaeus' world was about to be turned upside down. What he thought was seclusion, what he thought was a time that he could sit up there under the support of that tree, was about to be turned upside down for him. Because he was about to be challenged. Christian, I want to ask you today, if you're sitting up there in that tree, you've come down from the tree of salvation before. You've accepted Christ, but you've climbed that tree now, and you're sitting there saying, you know, I've got this relationship with Jesus, but he seems like he's so much better to these people over here than he is to me. I got things going on in my life that I don't understand, and God, why are you doing this to me? And your curiosity is absolutely piqued, and you're just sitting there on a tree limb today. I want to ask you, what are you putting your support in? What's supporting you? Can I name a few things this morning? Just to name a few. For some of us, it's popularity. Students, are you sitting there basing your support off your popularity? Education, jobs, social status, money? Just to name a few. And we use those things as support systems as we sit there and we view. And we forget to realize that what is down below us and who is passing by is greater than all of those things. You see what Zacchaeus would have never realized, and he wasn't even thinking of it this way? One day, that tree limb that he's perched on was going to fail him. That tree is carnal. But what was about to encounter him was eternal. I want to tell you, this teenager, adult, young child in here, whatever you are placing your support in other than Jesus Christ that you're trying to use as a boost to get your view of Jesus, I want to tell you this, it will fail you one day. It will fail you. Right now, you may feel seclusion and you may feel support, but I am here to tell you, in my almost 31 years of life, I have seen the carnality of our support systems. Just because it's there right now does not mean that it's guaranteed to be there forever. And in a minute, we're going to get to the invitation of Zacchaeus to come down. But I want to tell you this. If you're taking notes, write this down. It's a lot easier to come down than it is to fall down. It's a whole lot easier to climb down than it is to one day to take a fall from that tree limb of support that you thought would never, ever fail you. But then we see Zacchaeus. He's up there in that tree, and he thought nobody was ever going to come and see him. But the greatest set of eyes that ever walked this earth locked in on him. I love it that there in verse 5, it says, Jesus came to the place and he looked up and he saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. Don't you love it that he calls him by name? I don't know about you, but in my Bible, I don't read any recollection that these two ever had any conversation together. I believe Jesus was showing him exactly who he was when he called him by his name. He said, hey, pure, come on down from that tree. May I tell you, beloved, I don't know where you're at, and I don't know what you're going through in here. You may be sitting in here this morning, and you may think nobody knows about you, nobody cares about you, nobody knows what is going on in your life. And may I tell you, in this congregation of almost 200 people, nobody in here may. But there's a God up in heaven. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows your name. He knows your circumstances, and He will call you out by name. I love it when He calls me by my name. Calling you by name means that you have a relationship with that person, and that it's very, very personal. It wouldn't have meant as much if He just said, "Hey, buddy, come on down there." Or, "Hey, tax collector, you ain't gonna make no money up there. Come on down." But no, He gets very, very personal with Zacchaeus. And He says, "Zacchaeus, come down." Now, I want to tell you this today. When you read scriptures, kind of like a text message, any of y'all ever misled text messages before? Somebody sends you a text, and you think they're screaming at you, and they're really not, and you kind of take it the wrong way and all that stuff. Yeah, some of y'all are like looking at each other like, "Yeah, I know." Yeah. When you see that Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down," I don't believe that He was talking to him in a very forceful manner. You can have your own thoughts about that, but I don't believe He was. I don't believe He talked to him like maybe I talk to my boys when they're in trouble. "Come down from there right now." And I also don't see this. And if your Bible says this, take it back to Christian Supply. You got the funny kind. My Bible also says that Jesus was there on the ground and He talked up to Zacchaeus. He did not climb that tree and force him to come down either. You know that Jesus always gives you the choice to leave your seclusion and your support places to come down to where He's at. When it comes to getting a relationship with Jesus and following Jesus with your life, I'm going to tell you this, it takes action on your part. You're not just going to be able to sit there and just take up space and air. God's going to call you to do something. He's going to call you to move. He's going to call you to be active. Now, y'all know how the story goes. But I want to submit this thought to you today. If Zacchaeus, with his choice, okay, if Zacchaeus would have said, "No, I'm going to still sit up here in this tree," Jesus would not have climbed up that tree and forced him to come down. Jesus would have respectfully left. Remember this, beloved. Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't force you to do anything. He gives you the choice. He gives you opportunities. It's your choice if you want to take Him up on that opportunity or if you want to stay in your carnal tree. But my Bible tells me that Zacchaeus, he came down. Now, I don't know how much time transpired. I don't know what all was going on. But it seems like to me he came down from there pretty quick. But do you realize what Zacchaeus was doing? What all was going on in his mind? A chief publican, not living up to his namesake, a true cheater of the community, is sitting up in a tree. And the Son of God Himself is there in front of this crowd of people. And He calls up to him to come down in front of all those people. Talk about pressure. You know, that's one of the biggest things that people don't allow themselves to get out of that tree? Peer pressure. "Oh, I'm just going to stay up here in the tree." because I don't know what everybody else is going to think about me. I don't know what people are going to think if I come down from this tree. All these people there, they know me. If I come down and I take Jesus up, I don't know how I'm going to be received. I don't know how people are going to feel. You know, a lot of Christians and many lost people, that's the number one thing that the devil uses to keep you in your pew. Peer pressure. Don't worry, I'm going to be done here in just a minute, but I want to tell you this story, just talking about peer pressure for a little bit. I hadn't been in ministry here very long, and we did a Disney movie night lock-in up there in the Family Life Center. We were really excited about it. I saw some of y'all like start twitching a little bit when I said lock-in. It's all right. I can stay up with them and hang. And you know, they say they're going to get me with shaving cream, whipped cream, and all this stuff every year. I'm like, guys, I ain't going to sleep. You know, I ain't doing it. Y'all can try all you want. But what we decided to do that night, before we played the first Disney movie, we were going to have some activities together and have a meal, and then we were going to have a big worship service together. And I invited all the students, as I always do, bring your friends to come, and bring especially your lost friends to come so that we have an opportunity to share Jesus with them. And I had one young lady, she had a friend that she brought that night, and this young lady did not have a relationship with Jesus. This young lady's the lady at our church, her mom had told me about the whole situation. And so I was like, I was excited that this young lady was here. And I was like, oh, God, please, during the worship service that we have tonight, would you just please convict her heart? And I'd love to see her get saved. What a great thing to happen at a lock-in. We can just worship the Lord and have a good time the rest of the night. And so we get into the worship service, and I begin to preach, and then invitation time comes. And all heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and I said, if anybody would like to accept Jesus tonight, just raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you. That girl's hand, you could tell she was wrestling. I mean, just going back and forth, she didn't know what to do, and her hand went up. And I said, whoo, that's the first step right there. God's reeling her in. I said, yeah, boy. I said, man, it's about to get good. And I said, if you want to be saved tonight, and you just said that you don't know Christ, but you'd like to get saved, I said, we got people here. I'd love to talk with you. We got other counselors I'd love to meet with you. And I watched as that young girl sat in that metal folding chair, and it was almost as if you could see the wrestling match going on in her life. I want to go, but I got to stay. I want to go, but I got to stay. Now, I'd never do this. But the Holy Ghost just nudged me and was like, go talk to her. And so I went down there, and I got down on a knee, and I called her by name, and I said, do you need to be saved tonight? And she said, I do. And I said, would you like to be saved tonight? And I'll never forget this answer. She said, I can't. I said, what do you mean you can't? Now, church, if this don't break your heart in a million pieces, that girl looked at me and she said, if I get saved tonight, my mama will never talk to me. She said, my mama's going to come get me in the morning. If I tell her I got saved and I got Jesus, my mama don't believe in Jesus, she think this is all a joke. She said, my mama will never talk to me. She'll never have a relationship with me. This girl just went on down the list of things. Now, you talk about ruining the rest of my evening. I sat there and watched this young lady as she had fun the rest of the night. She had ice cream. She had popcorn. She watched Disney movies. She played board games. She had a blast. And the only thing that I could do as I watched her after staying up all night, and I watched her leave that gymnasium up there and go and get in the car with her mom, was think, God, I beg you, give her another chance. Give her another chance. Let somebody witness to her and her mama. God, give her another chance. Give her another chance. I want to tell you this, church, if you're in here today and you're sitting in your carnality and your support system It's some carnal tree limb. And the peer pressure is eating you up. I ain't trying to scare you. I'm just being real with you. It's not guaranteed you get another chance for Jesus to pass by your way. Now I'm going to pray and I'm going to petition and I'm going to call out on God for another chance. For all those that I love and I know, God, would you give them another chance? And I'll cry out for you too. But I want to tell you this, just because God's people's crying out and they want you to have another chance doesn't mean you're guaranteed one. Lost person, this could be the last chance you get. Don't let peer pressure, don't let the carnality of the things that you have in this life and the worry of how things are going to go, let the devil lie to you and keep you in a pew. Christian, I wouldn't sit on my support system of a carnal limb and let the devil tell me, don't you worry about it. He'll come by again. He'll give you another opportunity to get right with him and have this great relationship. You don't know that. This may be your last chance to get right with God. I'm glad Zacchaeus took Jesus up on his offer. And he came down from that tree. And Jesus said, I want to go to your house. Now that's when it really gets personal. Because I don't know about y'all, but my house is my comfort zone. I can be dad and husband and all that stuff at home. I love it. I can get out of this shirt and tie, and I can put on my t-shirt and my sweatpants, and I can sit in my recliner, and I can rock babies, and I can watch ball games, and I can be me. Home is a place of comfort. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I don't want to go to so-and-so's house. I don't want to go down here or over there. I want to go to your house. And again, my Bible doesn't tell me that Zacchaeus sent servants ahead and say, hey, clean the place up. Make sure everything's in order. Hide all this stuff that I shouldn't have been doing. All right, y'all clean this up. Me and Jesus are going to be there in just a minute. My Bible doesn't say that. My Bible says that Zacchaeus came down from that tree and they went straight to his house. Lost person, Christian who's struggling today, can I tell you this? Jesus meets you in your mess. You ain't got to clean up for him. You ain't got to put everything in its right place, and you ain't got to sweep stuff under the rug and put it in the drawers and the cabinet so you think Jesus won't see it. Can I just let you know this? He already sees it all anyway. He loves you just as you are. And he wants to have a relationship with you. You ain't got to send nobody ahead to do any cleaning up. Just come down here just as you are. Jesus wants to come to your house. He wants to see you for who you really are. Not a facade you can put on at church, but he wants to see who you really are. My Bible tells me Zacchaeus come down, they go to his house. Zacchaeus begins to repent, repay, and that Zacchaeus got a brand new relationship. I firmly believe this, Zacchaeus was never the same after he had that encounter with Jesus. After he came down from that carnal tree and went to his house with the Son of God, I believe there was a new tax collector in town. He wasn't the same. If you're in here today and you want something different, Christian, are you perched on a limb looking at everybody else's life and saying, I want that, I want that, I want something different? Can I tell you this? It all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It all starts with you coming down from that limb. Lost person, have you tried everything the world has to offer? And you ain't got no hope. You ain't got no peace. You ain't got nothing going on in your life. And you just came here today, a hopeless mess. There's a God up in heaven who loves you so much that he died for you. And he's sitting right at the base of your tree right now, and he's pointing up to you, and he's saying, come down here. I love you. Come down here. I want to go to your house. I want to have a relationship with you. All you got to do is come down. As we go into a time of invitation this morning, I want to challenge you. Will you come down from your limb? I want to challenge some mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas in here. If you got a kid, you got a grandkid, you got a niece or a nephew, you got a loved one in your life, and you know right now they're just sitting there perched on a limb, curious about this Jesus, would you come down here today and you petition God to give them one more chance to pass by their way one more time? God, would you give them one more chance? God, would you invite them down one more time? I'm blessed with three kids. I got an almost 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a sleeping 7-month-old. I'm so thankful that I get to raise my kids in such a Christian environment. But I tell you what I'm doing. I'm preparing my kids to climb a tree. And I'm preparing them for when they climb that tree, that when God says come down, they'll come down. That's what I want to see. I want to see Hudson get saved. I want to see Cooper get saved. I want to see Eleanor get saved. That's the greatest thing I could ever see in this life. See my youngins come to know Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you this. They're growing. And boy, they're getting close to climbing trees. I go in there and I open up their little Bible and I read a Bible story with them. And I pray with them every night. Hudson knows most of the stories before I even get started. And Cooper's got more questions than the greatest theologian could ever ask, answer. And they take prayer time so serious that they sit there and they say, Daddy, would you pray for my monster trucks? Would you pray for my ball, my baseball? And Dad, would you pray for this and pray for that? You know all I'm doing right now? I'm just piquing their curiosity so that one day they'll climb a tree and I'll watch old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction come upon their life. Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, is that what you're praying for those people in your life? Adults, is that what you're praying for those you know in your life? Don't leave here today without begging God to give that person that's on your heart, on your mind, one more chance. If that person's you in here today, don't leave here. Still sitting in your tree. Come down. Make haste. Jesus is sitting here with open arms, and he's waiting for you. Brother Robbie's going to play. Altar's open. You come if you need it.